Good morning, everyone. Today is a day of celebration. Yes? We are here to worship. Okay. It's the last Sunday before Advent. Ooh. Stir Up Sunday. I tell you every year it's Stir Up Sunday. It's also Christ the King Sunday when some denominations choose to follow the church calendar. And that's why I said today is a celebration. Not only have we come to worship, not only can we go home and stir up our Christmas puddings, if those of you bother to make them anymore, but next week the church starts its new calendar, if we bothered with that, which we often don't. But also it's a reminder that we too need to be stirred up. Stirred up that we would give God our wills, so that we might do the things that he asks us to do, the things that he has planned for each one of us to do. And so as we celebrate today, let us remember that it's all about Jesus. The answer is always
Jesus.
Bit more enthusiasm. But do we declare Jesus as our King every day? And so as we come to worship, grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is our God, the one who loves us and who gave himself for us, who gathers us together in this place and bids us seek his face. Let's worship God together. Amen. And so we will, as we sing number 575, rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are greater than anything that we can imagine, more wonderful than our deepest joy, more powerful than anything that we have known. Yours is the authority that always intended to create. Yours is the sovereignty that holds all things in the palm of your hand. Yours is the love that continually seeks to bring everyone, everywhere, into the joy of perfect fellowship with you. As the chorus goes, Father, we adore you. We lay our lives before you as we declare that we love you and that we praise you. Lord, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ and the message of all that he has done and won for us. For your holy word that tells us the story of his birth and his life, his ministry, his welcome of those who were hurting, and his acceptance of those who were rejected. We thank you for his message of hope and his promise to be with us forever. We thank you that Christ is still with us, even now seeking to complete his ministry to us and the whole world through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your truth, your light, your hope, and your love. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being called to be channels of your love for the world. Lord, often we pay lip service to the values of your kingdom. We love those who love us, but find it hard to love those who are not like us. We are honest and faithful if the cost is not too high. But we confess that too easily we accept the standards of the world and those not of Christ. We have settled for justice instead of caring concern. And for fair play when you have called us to love. We have exchanged what is right for what is easy, and what is true for what does not hurt. Father, forgive us, renew us, and empower us to stand and to strive and to struggle for Christ and his kingdom. Father, as we come again, we pray for ourselves and Christians everywhere, that we may have a clear vision of your purpose for our lives and the life of your church. May we have the courage and strength and determination to allow nothing and no one to deflect us from it. We pray for all whose daily care and compassion and understanding prepare the hearts and minds of those they meet at home, at work, at school, or in the world. For the coming of Christ, whose words and deeds enable others to be open to God's word for them in Jesus. Lord, we do pray for a renewed confidence in the values of your kingdom, for a reassurance that honesty, integrity, obedience, faithfulness, compassion, and love are the values that are real. We pray, help us, weak as we are, broken as we are, damaged as we are. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may take with us the power to heal and transform. Lord, move again within our hearts and lives. May we be aware of your still small voice. Lord, call us by name. May your presence find us, fill us and comfort us, and enable us to stand firm in our faith in you. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we join together and sing, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, number 251. Is that wrong? 59. Sorry, I got it down twice. Let's sing it twice. Let's sing number 59, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, because that's what I've got on my screen. Thank you. So as you probably notice, as we're singing the hymns this morning, they're very much Jesus-centered, Jesus-focused, as we celebrate Christ the King. The theme of the Lordship of Christ is the integral message throughout the entire New Testament, and certainly to the faithful practice of Christian worship. And so we're going to focus our attention and our worship on the character of Christ and his reign over all the world. As we come to our reading this morning, and I always get excited because it's from Revelation, so brace yourselves. We see how the Apostle John begins his chapter by stating that he received the revelation of Jesus Christ by divine activity. We know that he sent his vision to John while he was on the island of Patmos, likely as a punishment by the Roman government. We see how events will unfold at the end of times, the end of the world. The book comes as an unveiling, as a disclosure. John pronounces blessings to those who will read and obey Revelation. And then he greets his readers warmly and describes Jesus' appearance. And so I'll ask Diana if she'll come and share our reading.
Reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, on page 1233. The prologue. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Greetings and doxology. John, to the seven churches of the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen.
Thank you. It's a word we don't use very often, isn't it? Doxology. When did you last put that into a phrase? It means praise. And as John contemplates what God has done for believers by making us a kingdom of and priests, he spontaneously offers praise to God. He gives glory. John's joyful anticipation of Jesus' return caused him to exclaim, "Even so, amen. Let it be so." Are we ready for Jesus to come again?
Yes.
Thank you, Louise. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Can't wait. And we too should eagerly anticipate the second coming, because Jesus will reign all over the earth, and we will reign with him. And so now, in my excitement, let us sing number 251, How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's pray. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. Not only hear it, but take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Blessed are we, blessed is this church. Look, O people, and see. Listen, O people, and hear. Our God is calling. Let us receive him now. Amen. I love the end of that as it says, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. And as I've often said, there is a song for everything. Music and songs, you know, you can talk to somebody and suddenly a song will ping into your head. Now, it's a little bit rude if you start singing it at them. I've been known to do that, but you do it all the time. You're that person as well. Oh, cool. But whenever I read this passage from the Revelation to John, the words of the song, and I know it's one of Tony's favourite, Days of Elijah, spring into mind straight away with that resonating, behold, he comes riding in the clouds. And you can imagine what that must look like, can't you? Can you? Those of you who have an imagination still? You know, can you imagine when Jesus comes again, everyone's going to see it. And, you know, We tend to look up in the sky when a plane flies over from Heathrow. Can you imagine with Jesus descending and all that Revelation tells us that's going to look like? And as we look up, and you know, we're told through our daily faith journey to keep looking up to the cross, but also let's think about looking up all the time as we wait for Jesus to return. I think of Ezekiel, the prophet and priest, to whom songwriter Robin Mark refers to in Days of Elijah. The vision to which the songwriter alludes is the Valley of the Dry Bones coming to life in Ezekiel 37. And I pray that the Valley of the Dry Bones, that is the Church of Jesus Christ, again would rise to life. But we also think as Ezekiel sits by the river and he suddenly spots a windstorm coming from the north. Now, there is going to be a windstorm later. It's been actually, you know, told that it's going to happen, but not necessarily Jesus' return. Ezekiel sees a cloud and he sees flashing light with strange creatures in the center spinning everything around on a wheel. A voice comes calling him to be a prophet. And it's those kind of visions that definitely Revelation draws from, but also the songwriters. That's where Robin Mark gets his words from. It's familiar visions to make clear that the Lord who gave the power to the prophets of old is the same God who became, as we will say over these next 4 weeks, incarnate, personified in the flesh, lived among us as Jesus Christ, our Lord, and this morning, our King. It's the same God in Christ that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Christ is the one who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. So I've been thinking, so run for the hills, and I've been making my lists, as I was saying on Wednesday. Why is Christ my King? Why is Christ my King? Perhaps it's a question you can ask yourselves. The book of Revelation, love it or hate it, is the story of Jesus himself. After the opening greeting, John gives us a prophetic description of Jesus' second coming. Although each of the seven churches received a special letter from Christ, each congregation could read what was written to the others because everything was contained in one large, long letter. And so we have the same advantage today. I believe that today's churches could solve many of its problems that we face by reading God's commands again to each of the seven churches. We know that when sinners come to Christ in faith, we receive eternal salvation through God's grace. Salvation is a gift to each and every one of us, entirely wrapped up in a person, Jesus. This new relationship with Christ will overcome any trials that we have in this life, just like Christ overcame death. That new relationship is due to the work of the Holy Trinity, all three members, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, were involved in the creation of the book of Revelation, including the passage that we've just had. John refers to God as the one who is and who was and who is to come. So as somebody says, God is in control of our unlikable past, our unnerving present, and our uncertain future in this life. Jesus has the authority to rule as the promised King from the line of David. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, understanding, advice, strength, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. And we can take comfort in the knowledge that Jesus reigns now and forever, during the good times and the bad. Jesus has freed believers from their sin. He conquered death and gives us new life. And so consequently, as we read, we can share his authority as priest and king through our union with him, through the Holy Spirit. In our present sin-filled world, guilt is something that people tend to avoid. Running from it, talking to a counsellor about it, blaming it on someone else, or suppressing it through all those mental exercises that we find in those copious amounts of books that you can buy at extortionate prices. When in fact you can just pick up one book and the whole of life and how to deal with it is in there. We can't avoid guilt. It has been described like a stain that won't come out of our clothes, no matter how many times we wash them or what type of washing powder we use. Salvation is God's gift to undeserving sinners such as us. And we must never forget that. This grace gives us a relationship that offers us true peace. And that peace helps us to overcome any problems that we may face. Jesus is the only thing that can wash away our sins. When people are scrambling, as we see at the moment, for power and status and influence and affluence, Jesus reigns. He is the only person who can get rid of poverty, of crime, of terrorism and disease. If we let Christ be our king, we don't have to be little kings of our own. We don't have to rule the world. We don't have to let things such as money or celebrity rule our lives. These things can't make our lives worth living. Only Jesus makes our lives worth living. Jesus gives us the greatest freedom, freedom from death. That freedom gives us the freedom to live. In return, we are called to serve until Christ returns to claim his earthly kingdom. Only in Revelation is Christ given the title of faithful witness. He was faithful, as we read, unto death, and his followers must also be faithful unto death. It's a theme throughout the Revelation. The phrase ruler over the kings of the earth refers to Christ's present reign, not his future one. And so we remember that Jesus reigns over all. That's what I want to affirm today in the midst of the political furore that we witness everywhere, that Jesus is the ruler of all the kings and presidents and governors and prime ministers and chiefs. He is the King of Kings now because he has triumphed over death and he is sovereign over all earthly powers. Verses 7 to 8 presents the theme of the entire book of Revelation, the return of the king and the establishment of his rule over his kingdom. Coming describes the arrival of the king and the changes in the situation that his arrival proclaims. Alpha and Omega, as we've said before, are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Here they point to the eternity of Christ and his all-inclusive power. Christ is the supreme sovereign. There is nothing that he doesn't know. I find that quite unnerving sometimes. There are no unknown factors that can interfere with his return. Jesus is at the beginning of all history and the goal for whom all things were made. Jesus is infinite, determined, and powerful one. God is eternal, and he will come again at the end of time, as we've read and sang, to judge and to save. The purpose of our Christian life is based on our faith in a God who is eternally past and present and future. It starts in the present. Each of us must encounter and experience the presence of God in our own lives on a daily basis. It's not a Sunday for an hour job. It's hard work. But he continually reaches into our lives because he wants to transform each and every one of us. Because he wants to give us a future to look forward to. We need to begin practicing for the perfected life that we will be, that will be ours someday, living and behaving as kingdom people now. God ordained the nation of Israel to witness to his glory, to his majesty, and to his power. He calls on us as members of his kingdom to do the same. To know Jesus is to know the security of purpose and the assurance of peace. Jesus is Lord and Saviour and King. He has allowed us to know him personally like never before. Ordinary people who receive Christ's love and freedom are willing to become Christ's servants and ultimately his very kingdom in the world. That's what kingdom is. It's not some far off distant thing. Kingdom is his people, like church is his people. Through him, ordinary people can achieve extraordinary things. And we will witness Christ's return and we will have the right to enter God's kingdom. His return will be a joyous occasion because it's an event that we've been waiting for. You know what it's like when you've been waiting for something for ages and then the event comes? Not the trip to the dentist. Something exciting. Unfortunately, his return will be mourned by those who oppose him. Everything will change. Evil will be ended. Order will be restored. And Jesus will reign. And that's why we echo the thoughts of the vision. O come, Lord Jesus. God's reign is the power that keeps our world turning, the rain falling and the seasons returning. It is an expression of God's faithful, everlasting love, the love he has for us as our King. God cares about the ultimate details of our lives. No matter what comes against us in this life, no matter if all of the power of pain and chaos of the universe seems to overwhelm us, no matter if we can't control or fix single things in our lives, the worst is over and the healing has begun because the Lamb of God is on his heavenly throne. The book of Revelation is a blessing. It gives us hope in a God we can trust, an expectation for a future that God has created. That's because Jesus is the beginning and the ending, the dawn of the world and its dusk. The book of Revelation tells us to lean into our faith in a Christ who holds the future in his hands. Nothing can upset his eternal will. And that eternal will includes us who will be spending eternity with him in his eternal kingdom on earth. So today is the celebration of Christ the King Sunday. Throughout time, we have had various examples of monarchy. Some kings have been seen as a dominant, sitting around telling their people what they can and cannot do type. Wanting to have all the power to themselves. In our passage today, we are reminded that Jesus isn't like that. Jesus isn't interested in sitting around. Jesus is more interested in going around. Jesus came to empower each of us to share God's love, to help each other. Jesus works with us. Jesus works through us. Jesus puts ideas into our heads and our hands and frees us to create with him, frees us to make the world a more beautiful place. And so as we end this church year and next Sunday begin the new with the preparations for Christmas, remember that you are a creative, important part of God's kingdom. We are not Christians alone. My mission is to share and to inspire and to encourage. companions with Christ in his creative salvation process. That's why Christ is my King. Amen. And so we pray. Lord, you have brought us to this moment in our lives. We look back and give thanks for all that you have done for us and for being with us no matter what. We look forward to all we must face in the future in the knowledge of your promise to be with us always. So today we commit ourselves to be open to you and to be channels of your grace to all that we meet. Lord, loosen our tongues and open our hearts, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, put up your words into our mouths, into our hearts. Enable us to be faithful witnesses for Christ, our King. Amen. And so we sing 109, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Let's pray. Gracious Father, take hold of our lives, fill us with your Spirit, and send us out into your world as examples of your grace and witness to your love. Go now in the name of Christ our King and the power of his Holy Spirit, for the Lord is with you always. Amen.